Our text for our discussion this morning, I found in a little book about relationships, and I thought it would be appropriate for today because we don't, I think, celebrate enough some of the good things and the blessings of our lives when we come in this place. We're usually dealing with heaviness and horror and nasty and praying God for help, and God is right here and helping us and our friends. So this is our reading. A newlywed young man was sitting on the porch on a humid day sipping iced tea with his father. As he talked about adult life, marriage, responsibilities, and obligations, the father thoughtfully stirred the ice cubes in his glass and cast a clear, sober look to his son. "Never forget your friends," he advised. "They will become more important as you get older. Regardless of how much you love your family and the children you happen to have, you will always need friends. Remember to go out with them occasionally, if possible, but keep in contact with them somehow." "What strange advice," thought the young man. "I just entered the married world. I am an adult, and surely my wife and the family that we will start will be everything I need to make sense of my life." Yet he obeyed his father, kept in touch with his friends, and annually increased their number. And over the years, he became aware that his father knew what he was talking about. Inasmuch as time and nature carry out their designs and mysteries on a person, friends are the bulwarks of our life. After 60 years of life, here is what he and you may will have learned. Time passes. Life goes on. The distance separates. Children grow up. Children cease to be children and become independent. And to the parents, it breaks their heart, but the children are separated from the parents. Jobs come and go. Illusions, desires, attractions, sex weaken. People do not do what they should do. The heart breaks. The parents die. Colleagues forget the favors. The races are over. But true friends are always there, no matter how long or how many miles away they are. A friend is never more distant than the reach of a need, intervening in your favor, waiting for you with open arms, or in some way blessing your life. When we started this adventure called life, we did not know of the incredible joys or sorrows that were ahead. We did not know how much we would need from each other. Love your parents, take care of your children, but keep a group of good friends. I'm sure there's a lot of wisdom expressed in all of this and things that you and I all can identify with. But I thought it would be a good idea today if we could share some thoughts that move us by what we have just read. Perhaps by experiences of your life. This is not show and tell, nor is it true confessions, but just an awareness of how valuable other people are in our lives, not only for their sake, but mostly for ours. So if anybody would like to share a thought. I was counting on you, Agatha.
Oh, well, just for that. I grew up in a very tight-knit, dysfunctional family. We all loved each other, and we still do, as dysfunctional as we are. Friends didn't really mean very much. We go to school, we meet people, we like them, and then we go home, but family is more important. And then going to France and meeting up with my friends, not family friends, but my friends. And I remember one of my uncles After my father died, one of my uncles said, "You can have as many friends as you would like, but the only people that really know you and you can only call them real friends are your family." And I looked at that and I said, "Yeah, okay, sure," and went along. I've learned through the years, my family is important, yes. They know me, basically know me pretty much, but not really. But my friends are the people that know me much better than my family. And that's how I see it.
It's been said that there's no such thing as a functional family, that every family is in some degree dysfunctional, so don't feel somehow that you got cheated if you came from something a little strange. We all did.
This is a bit of a long story, but my very best friend, I had literally all my life. When mother went into labor, she went to the hospital, and my friend Betty's mother went into the hospital in labor. And at that time, I don't know why, but Dr. Point had to run from mom to Mrs. Reed, from mom to Mrs. Reed, and Betty was born, and I was born. And there's where it began, because we went to kindergarten together throughout all our elementary schools. We went to boarding school. She got into the one that I wanted to get into, but that's neither here nor there. We went to separate colleges, but after that, we roomed with each other in New York, and she married my boyfriend, but I still loved him still. I forgave her for that, and he's still my best buddy now. The sad part of it is that she passed away last year from cancer, and Fred calls me still to see how I am and you know, check up. But literally, it's been a lifelong friendship, and I miss her dearly.
I think it's important as family that we, having a son, a grandson, that they all be allowed to spread their wings, and they're going to have their own friends, and it's going to be an extension. Sometimes it becomes a family extension in a good way. I'm fortunate to have a friend in Russia, a friend in Poland, a friend in California and South Carolina. We pick up the phone, and it could be 3 months, it could be a year, but it seems like yesterday. And when it feels like it's just been yesterday, that's when it's unconditional, and that's true friendship. And I'm very grateful for that.
Thank you. One of my closest friends, the guy I went to school with, we met in kindergarten. And we haven't seen each other probably in about 5 years, but I know I can pick up the phone and it would be like yesterday, like there was a comma, no period.
One of my friends I've had for 62 years, we met in CYL. And I think part of it that cemented is that our parents knew who the other parents were, even though we were from two different neighborhoods. But we've waned and, you know, not talked for a while, but every time we get together, it's like it's yesterday. And another friend is 48 years. She had the audacity to move out of Connecticut, but we're still in touch. And I see her once a year when I go there. Of course, I've been here 50 years, too. My son turned 50, so I can brag 50. And there's many people here that have been here 50 years also.
And almost all of us have been around here longer than that. All right. Anybody? Any other thoughts? Oh, yeah.
I just think it's important to have this reminder every so often, because it's the true blessing in life to have a friendship, and many times you can kind of get away from knowing how important it is. So it's good to have these reminders.
Oh. Here you go, dear.
There's also, when I see my son, Raphael, and his best friend, Jake, they met in kindergarten. And they got along very, very well. They were really, really good friends. Something happened, and they were at each other's throats. They could not stand each other. But they were always with the same group of friends, so they tolerated each other for a very, very long time. And I think it was like in sixth grade or something like that, they all of a sudden realized their friendship had grown and their mentality had grown. From that point, they found they had so many things in common. And one of the things that I noticed is the learning to be friends. What are the things that are in common? But it's still learning how to be able to still connect, still be you. And it's still a learning process. And that's one of the things that are pretty amazing that I see with Raphael and his friends. It's still a learning process.
And isn't that true of life? Life is a learning process. I know for me, what strikes me most about friends, the importance of friends, is that a friend holds up a mirror that nobody else can hold up. You know, our parents know us, and I'm speaking from my own experience, just my personal experience. You know, our parents know us to a degree. But in the world in which we grew up, we weren't always too honest about what was really going on inside of us with our parents. You know, mom and dad loved us, we know, and they cared about us, and they supported us. But if you're like me, there were some things I didn't want to tell my parents, and some things I didn't want them to know, and some things I felt was none of their business. That's when I got cocky. But the reality is, you know, when you have a friend, a real friend, is somebody that you look at and knows you so much inside out that they reflect you back. That's not artificial, because what that really says is that you're okay. It means that wherever you have been, that's fine. And whoever you have become is okay. And wherever you're going, that's okay too. One of my two dearest friends, both were priests. We were like glue through the seminary. And when one of them decided he was going to leave the priesthood because he wanted to marry, he called us together so we could talk about it. And we didn't have any problem with his getting married. We met his fiancée, went through the struggles that he went through trying to adjust, and it's an adjustment. Trust me, going from priesthood to marriage, huge adjustment, but a wonderful adjustment. He did very well. He inherited four children. The youngest one, I think, was four. And the oldest one was a teenager, so he had them right at the worst times of their lives. But all these years later, they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and the kids are all married, got grandkids, and have done very well. They had some horrible struggles, but they made it. When I was leaving, I decided I was going to leave. We got together, and we talked about it. And everybody was fine, everybody was happy, it was all wonderful. But it wasn't until about 2 years later that my friend Bob, who is still a priest, kind of stopped calling. We talked to each other every week, the three of us. We would call each other every week, so, and that's over 45 years. And for some reason, he never told me, he just couldn't deal with the fact that I was married. I think a real thunderbolt hit him when I had a grandchild. And to see the grandchild doing so well bothers him. I can tell by the way he talks. But the reality is, what he does allow me to do is be myself. He doesn't judge me, as some of my other classmates, you know, kind of went, you know, you got excommunicated, you're going to hell, you know, don't come near me because it's sketchy, that approach. He didn't do that. We still talk every other week. He's living his life now in retirement. I would not choose his life, but he's very happy, and that's great. And so we go on. But the beauty of it is that I know that there's somebody out there who knows me and some of my deepest, darkest struggles, through some of the great times we had together and also some of the horrors we went through and some of the things you struggle as an individual. And you're accepted. The reason I want to say that is simply this. You know, last 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about the true mirror, looking into the true mirror where you don't see the reflection like you do in a regular mirror, you see yourself reversed. The true mirror shows you exactly what you are, who you are, and we have a problem with that. It gets very uncomfortable when you see that. Lots of times we don't like the photographs taken of us because we see our true self, you see. We're seeing ourselves as other people see us. There's an old, old hymn, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." And when I first became a Congregationalist, a zillion years ago, and I had to sing that hymn because it was written there and I was supposed to sing because I was leading the worship, I thought, well, isn't this dumb? What a friend I have in Jesus. Bring all your cares to Jesus. Everything's going to be wonderful. That was in my skeptic day. But the longer I'm living here and living with this, the more I realize that one of the things we really miss in our religious understanding is that God is our friend, a true friend. We listen to WJMJ. Do any of you listen to JMJ? WJMJ is a good, it's Catholic, but they have ecumenical things periodically, and it's Father John Gatzak, I know very well. Sometimes he's great, and sometimes I want to hit him. Well, the other day I wanted to hit him because he does these little meditations. And in this one meditation, he was talking about God knows everything you have ever done. And he listed off a whole bunch of things like, God knows when you were angry, and God knows when you thought something bad, and God knows when you wanted to do something, and God knows what you did to that person, and God knows how much you disliked this person. He had a whole list of things like that. And when he got all through, he said, this was his closing line. Remember, God knows you as you really are. And I wanted to hit him, because he just enumerated everything negative that you could possibly think of and said, that's how God sees you. I don't know what gospel he reads or what Jesus he believes in. Well, I do know it's the Catholic theology, morality, all that stuff. The truth is, brothers and sisters, and we have got to grab hold of this, because this is what the world needs. That God, whoever you call God, whoever God is, whoever God will become. If you believe in a God of love, then a God of love, like a friend who loves you, will never condemn you, will never judge you, will never put you down, will always support you, will be with you in your crisis. Can't fix your crisis necessarily, but will be there in your crisis. And when you come out the other side, you'll find a new bit of hope and a different way of life as a possibility. That's hope. Whatever happens, something of life will come from it. And that's all I want to underscore with this service. Think about your best friend, how much you depend, how much you have gained from that friend, how much that person really reflects you, how much you feel cherished and honored, respected, how much you are cared about. And know that your best friend, the one who loves you most, is the best experience of God you will have in your life. I'm very blessed because I married my best friend. And so God is always present in my life. Celebrate your best friend and let somebody celebrate you as his or her best friend, because you also mirror someone else in your love. Amen.